Welcome to the program for hour number two for Wednesday, April 14th, 2010 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Continuing our industry chatter series with leaders of some of the big people, big hitters in the federal business world. And I'm pleased to welcome Greg Barone of Attain to the studio with me today to talk about what he's seeing and hearing and doing in the federal marketplace. Greg, welcome to the program. Nice to have you.
Nice to be here, Francis.
What, as you're going out, well, give us the elevator speech about Attain first and tell us what you do and who you interact with, either generally or specifically in the federal space.
Sure. I probably, if you don't mind, I'll just do a little brief overview of how we came about. Founded in January of 2009, a group of us were looking for a platform. It unfolded in front of us with the Chapter 11 filing of Bearing Point's situation. And then we looked at, you know, was there a possibility that we could acquire some of the Bearing Point public sector assets?
Mm-hmm.
As you know, most of those assets went to Deloitte. Because of OCI issues, some of those assets went back to the Bearing Point estate. And we turned out to be one of the companies that pursued those assets, meaning the contracts and the people. And in August of 2009, we closed the transaction that brought those people over as a platform for Attain.
Mm-hmm.
So we have about 220 people, about a little over 100 contracts that came over. I should say about 170 people came over with a little over 100 contracts. Today we're about 130 contracts with about 220 people.
Mm-hmm. When you say that a company, any company, yours in particular, obviously, does consulting work for the government, that can mean 80 million different things.
Right.
What in particular are the areas that you, or the types of work that mm-hmm. you're specializing in or getting a lot of work in?
Well, the bulk of the basic set of contracts and people that we have, I kind of say that we're focused in three predominant areas. You know, one is the whole area of what I call operational improvement, program management, your traditional management consulting focus.
Mm-hmm.
A second area is a lot of work in connection with applications management, applications development, so software, if
mm-hmm.
you will.
Sure.
More of the COTS type, you know, custom off-the-shelf kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third area is grants administration. We have a collection of contracts and where we provide support for basic sciences research around the project type of work that's being performed on behalf of the federal government.
Let's go back to the second one there. You mentioned COTS, and I'm hearing a lot more people talking about buying their stuff in that manner than having really complex pieces of software custom designed for them. And, of course, the move to open source is an element of that. Why do you think that is? What are the good things about it, and what are maybe some of the disadvantages to agencies not having their own proprietary systems in place?
Well, I think for me, the real benefit of COTS types of solutions is the fact that you get the benefit of years and years of accumulated competency and expertise embedded in software or captured in IP manifested in software. So think of it, if every organization was custom developing something, their experiences are only their own experiences manifested in the IP.
Yeah.
Whereas there's a chance or there's an opportunity with a COTS package that you can capture the best practices from lots of implementations
mm-hmm.
and codified in software and implemented in a client site. The disadvantages are the tailoring. Many times organizations purchase those COTS applications and then want to tailor the heck out of them,
mm-hmm.
Which defeats the purpose of going with a COTS type of solution.
Yeah, would think you would just start from scratch at that point. I wonder then, with the advantages that you talk about, why it's taken so long for the government to get there. I mean, we've been in the software business now for, 60 or so years now. And we've heard a number over the years of huge problems with proprietary systems. So I wonder why it's taken so long to get where we are today. It seems to make a lot of sense.
Right. And I would suggest that, you know, there's no silver lining or single bullet that you could point to as why these things haven't unfolded as successfully as you might think that they would.
Mm-hmm.
But I can point out to some of the deficiencies. Usually it starts with not tailoring or not understanding your requirements for implementing those packages in the first instance.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes not having the right discipline around governance and program management. It's sometimes not having something as simple as acceptance criteria, so that when you define a set of requirements, that by the time you get around to implementing it, there are signed off acceptance issues or agreements around those packages. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there are lots of reasons why the benefits of COTS haven't been fully realized,
mm-hmm.
but hopefully that gives you some flavor.
Well, and that kind of actually goes to the broader question of requirements in general that a lot of agencies, a lot of procurement people seem to be struggling with, is how do we write the requirements not just for software, but for weapons systems and
right.
for boxes of paper and everything,
mm-hmm.
That we're actually getting what we really need and not just what we think we need or what we want.
Yeah.
When you sit down with clients to talk to them about that end of it and codifying the requirements of it,
right.
what are the challenges that you're running into or what are maybe some of the mistakes that you see that are being made that maybe are kind of basic and should be fairly easy to fix?
Well, if we're talking about the front end of requirements
yeah.
definition,
yeah.
And I'll kind of break it into two pieces there. If we're talking government, as they go through the process of codifying those requirements in a statement of work, first, I think there's got to be a lot more training around that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just capturing the litany of things that you might want to do, like to do, et cetera. It's actually rationalizing all of that stuff. That's really, really, really where the heavy lifting is. So you can't just put together a treaty on with all the different things that you'd like to accomplish in a particular endeavor. What you have to do is really go about, here is the scope.
Mm-hmm.
And it means accepting trade-offs of what's really going to be accomplished during the course of any particular effort. So that's not easy to be done. And that's where you need probably your strongest people. And one of the weaknesses I've seen in these efforts has been typically, you tend to assign people to projects of this nature that are available versus mm-hmm. your best people
yeah.
that really understand what needs to be accomplished.
Then wouldn't the risk, though, if you started moving people around more, the risk be that you put your best people on this one because it's your most important procurement, and then 6 months later, another one that's more important than the first one comes along, and so you're shifting people around. How do you manage through that kind of an environment?
Well, this is where it's very important to have a strong HR continuum around the whole enterprise. And I keep on coming back to whenever I look at projects of this nature, I say that it's a people issue, it's a process issue, and it's a technology issue. When you look at endeavors like this, typically you find let's put the technology on it, and that'll fix all our ills. Or
mm-hmm.
Maybe we should just focus in on process. But people also neglect the people element of this, and this is where, coming to your point, having a strong succession planning process in place where there's also a very extensive talent review where you're rationalizing where you're putting your talent becomes really critical.
Mm-hmm. How are the agencies doing at that? I mean, I'm sure it's not a monolith. I'm sure some are doing better than others. But overall, if you had to attach a grade, what do you think it would be for that kind of succession plan and awareness of team skills?
I think that you see this in every administration. It's tend to be you rush to handle it. And
kind of a patchwork approach. We got to hurry
yeah,
up and fix this.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that really should be addressed. And I feel like it's like a FSMA grade, you know,
mm-hmm.
in many of the instances, unless there's a presidential directive, I don't think that the score would be very high.
That actually was kind of going to be my next question. Is it something that could just be fixed if somebody decided we're going to address it, we're going to address it directly and get it done and move on? Or is it something that will be an evolutionary process, do you think, and will take a lot of work? And maybe that's why it doesn't get started in the first place.
Yeah. First of all, I'd say, and most HR professionals would agree with me on this, it's an ongoing continuous improvement endeavor. So you would not really, it's not a one-time initiative. You may be one time to kick it off, but then it should be involved in your entire calendaring life cycle for a year. I mean, and you should be carrying everything through. It should wrap into performance management, goal setting, and it's like an entire ecosystem that you set around the HR system.
Do you think it's maybe now where we stand today too complicated to, because it involves wrapping all those things and becoming integrated into so many different elements of operations?
At some point, you got to bite the bullet, Francis. I mean, if again, given the significance of the need to continue to transform our government, if you will, to keep pace with the private sector and, frankly, to keep pace with the global economy, it's got to be addressed.
My guest is the chairman and CEO of Attain, Greg Baroni, on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You'll hear more when we continue in a moment.
Tune into Federal News Radio on Tuesday, April 20th at 10:30 a.m. for Microsoft's monthly show, GovCon Straight Talk. This month's topic is DCAA. Guests include Ken Bricker of Goodman & Company, Bernard Mustafa of Pleasant Valley Business Solutions, and Christine Smuda of Microsoft. These industry experts will discuss DCAA compliance, what's special about it, and what about it goes beyond what is generally required of contractors. Don't miss Microsoft's GovCon Straight Talk on Tuesday, April 20th at 10:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
How is the Federal Bureau of Investigation using financial data to inform its management decisions? What about FBI's efforts to migrate to a unified financial management system? And what are the key procurement challenges facing FBI? Listen next week as these questions and more will be explored with guest Richard Haley, Assistant Director of the Finance Division and Chief Financial Officer, Federal Bureau of Investigation. Join host Michael Keegan next week on the Business of Government Hour. That's next week on the Business of Government Hour.
My story actually began in 1991 when my sister died of breast cancer. Back then, they didn't have a whole lot of opportunities to help folks develop some hope.
Carol Lundeen's sister died of breast cancer at age 44.
I decided to ride my bicycle across country as a way for me to heal from that experience. And on my most difficult days, I would say to myself, this is nothing compared to what people with cancer go through.
In 2004, Carol learned that she, too, had cancer.
I felt as if my body had let me down. So at times when I feel uncertain, I hop on my bike, and it gives me some resiliency to encounter the next challenge.
Today, Carol is cancer-free and organizes bike trips for others fighting cancer. Novartis is committed to helping doctors and patients like Carol fight cancer and live with cancer.
Because when you live with cancer, you know that next challenge is going to come.
Novartis. Think what's possible.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorbeck. Here's what we're working on for this afternoon's Daily Debrief. During Snowmageddon, did you telework? How about during the nuclear summit? You probably wish you could. GSA is looking to be a model of how to telework, but they've discovered they don't have the right IT infrastructure in place. And what does it mean? We'll talk to GSA's CIO, Casey Coleman. And a new survey looks at how people look at cybersecurity and what that means for your cyber efforts. All that and much more this afternoon, 3 to 7 on the Daily Debrief with Chris Dorabek and Amy Morris, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Did you know Federal News Radio can also be heard on 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland? Check it out the next time you head to Fort Detrick or the I-270 Technology Corridor. Tune in to Federal News Radio for the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM or 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. Federal News Radio, your source for federal news now.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Greg Barone is my guest. He's chairman and CEO of Attain, and we're talking about a number of issues that he is seeing in his work with the federal government. We talked a little bit on the air and a little bit off the air during that break about the acquisition workforce. And one of the things that I mentioned off the air, and I want to bring it up on the air, is the fact that any conversation that I have with anybody from the vendor side, anybody from the government side, anybody from the academic side that examines these things, we always seem to come around in not too long a time to the state of the acquisition workforce. And whether it's the number of people or how they're trained, what the resources are there to get them up to speed, it seems to be the same conversation over and over again. And it's not... You know, it's been going on for a long time, and it doesn't appear to be changing any time in the foreseeable future. Let's assume that what everybody's been saying and what we talked about off the air is correct, and that is there aren't enough of them, and they don't have enough training.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that I talk to seems to tell me, and I'm curious to know if you agree, it takes anywhere from 5 to 10 years to grow an acquisition professional in the federal government, that you can send them off and say, I'm confident that that person's going to be able to go lead a team and do a good procurement. Is that
correct?
Fair, do you think? Is
that's
a fair? Okay.
Yeah.
So if we started today to grow these people from scratch, and I think everybody will agree that that's not going to happen, that there's still a lot of work to be done. What do we do for the 5 to 10 years until we have this new team of people that can do these procurements in the way that we know that they're going to be done well? Are we just going to stumble along doing what we're doing now, do you think, for the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, Francis, you know, unfortunately, I'd say here's what's got to happen. One is you got to concentrate your energies around what I call center of expertises or center of excellences. Take advantage of leveraging those resources for a variety of reasons. I'm not sure why it does not happen more aggressively. For example, GSA has FedSIM, DOD has DITCO. There ought to be a requirement that procurements over a certain threshold have to go through these center of expertises.
Mm-hmm.
Because the agencies themselves and departments, they just don't have the acquisition professionals that can keep mega procurements out of protest.
Mm-hmm.
And we see a number of them going through. There are just a lot of large procurements replete today with flaws that end up in protestable situations. And frankly, what does that do? The companies that really want to go out there to help fuse or bring new ideas to the table, the BMP costs make this almost next to prohibitive to go out and acquire new work. So I'd say one is concentrate these procurements in a few center of expertises. The other thing I would do is unbundle them. I mean, instead of having so many large procurements, and I know that costs and complexity are consideration that drive the equation in that direction, move it to the other side, which is unbundle them so that you can actually go through it with less likelihood of a protest. And that way, maybe you get some of the distributed benefits as well.
Do you think the trend is going in that direction? It seems to be in IT procurement in particular, just because the timeline of the improvements in technology is compressing so quickly. But is that happening in other areas too, do you think?
Not fast enough, from my opinion. I mean, and you know, of course, now I wear a different hat, you know, having transferred from a large corporate model into a small business, so actually not small business, but a small business. And so I don't see enough of that. On the other hand, you're right to point that is directionally correct.
Mm-hmm. All right. Since you brought it up, let's talk about the Unisys experience. What happened there? What was the whole deal there?
Well, I mean, probably the best thing to say is that I had a 7-year run. I enjoyed my time with the men and women of Unisys. I still have enormous respect for them.
Mm-hmm.
But after going through two CEOs and after the second CEO, the board made a decision that it was time for a completely new chapter for the leadership. And so they asked me to step down. You know, we went in that direction. So on the other hand, it's a new chapter for me, and I'm delighted to get a chance to move in the direction that we're currently in.
What did you learn at Unisys that you're applying at Attain, and what do you have to offer Attain that you wouldn't have if you wouldn't have had, certainly not the experience the way things ended at Unisys, but the tenure that you had there?
Well, I mean, I think the opportunity to, I mean, the lessons learned, if you will, or the things that I really bring to Attain are what I call the corporate cadence. You really get a sense of all of the different year-long activities. And I, the discipline, I know that a lot of people don't really like the quarterly cadence of a of having to be disciplined around financial reporting, you know, how gauging the status of your business, et cetera. But I had to tell you, there are a lot of benefits from that.
Mm-hmm.
Because by aggressively looking at your business in that cadence, you're able to kind of address things before they get out of control. At the same time, the beauty of being privately held, as we are, we're really a group of partners that own the business 100%. The value there is we can make the trade-offs between short-term results and long-term value for the enterprise.
Mm-hmm. In the corporate setting, or in the publicly traded company setting, you certainly have regular benchmarks of performance. You're held accountable on a pretty regular basis, and that can be a good thing. There are a lot of people, as you said, that have trouble with that, but there's some folks that like to have the markers.
I think, and again, the same basic four markers that we would look at: bookings, revenue, growth, earnings, and cash flow are the same, frankly, in a privately held organization. So the 13-week treadmill, as it's often called, there's a lot of value to being able to manage your business like that. And so that same discipline is, if you looked at our management team, the strength of our management team, they've all been through that mantra, that cadence. And so we operate similarly today.
Greg Veroni is the chairman and CEO of Attain, my guest on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll get back to our conversation about the state of contracting and in the federal government when we continue on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
NBC News Raylis Majerus. Another partisan battle brewing on Capitol Hill. Congressional leaders were called to the White House today to talk about reforming the financial system. Here's Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell.
This is a big, complicated subject, another massive bill that we believe in its current form provides an endless taxpayer bailout of Wall Street firms.
Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi finds that point of view ludicrous.
It's such a diversion from the facts that it's almost laughable. It's sad.
On the economy, Americans spent more money last month as retail sales rose sharply, a solid 1.6%. At the same time, consumer inflation remains almost invisible. Wall Street continues its rise with stocks higher in early afternoon trading. And a member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff says Iran could produce enough enriched uranium for a nuclear weapon in roughly a year, but would probably need 3 to 5 years to build a usable atomic weapon. I'm Marla Smigeris, NBC News Radio.
Did your morning begin with a painful headache? Sinus headaches tend to start when you first wake up, leaving you with pain in the forehead, cheeks, and the bridge of your nose. Tylenol Sinus can help. It provides more complete relief than a decongestant alone to relieve your sinus pressure plus the pain that comes with it, so you can feel better. Feel better. Tylenol Sinus. Use only as directed.
Phone story emergency.
Please send someone. My mom's heart's beating really, really fast.
Okay, I'll call 911.
911.
Yes, this is OnStar Emergency. I have a child that's seeking. He says her mother is not feeling well.
He just took some heart medicine, but it's not working.
Okay, I'm sending help to your mom.
Please hurry.
If something happens on the road, we can help.
We hear the siren.
We hope everything turns out okay.
Look for OnStar on 15 Chevy models. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations.
Checking your daily TSP ticker, the latest numbers from April 13th, 2010. The G Fund gains 0.01 at $13.24. The F Fund is up 0.02 at $13.62. The C Fund rises 0.01 at $14.27. The S Fund gains 0.04 at $18.80. But the I Fund is down 0.11 at $19.06. Your L Funds lose or stay the same.
The 2040 is down 0.01 at $16.66. The 2030 loses 0.01 at $16.36. The 2020 also down 0.01 at $16.06. The 2010 stays at $15.60. The L income remains at $14.20. Check your rates anytime, every day on federalnewsradio.com. Dimitri Sotis, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down the walls and enabling face-to-face communication, regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at breakdownthewalls.com.
Sir, I just got a report that for the fifth year in a row, GEICO outgrew all the other car insurance companies. People just love saving money on their car insurance.
Great. You know, with all your hard work saving people hundreds, it kind of reminds me of myself from way back when.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Except I wasn't green.
Of course not.
Or 7 inches tall.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Boy, that was a terrible analogy. Forget it.
Yeah, glad we had this talk, sir.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
Culminating a decade-long journey to expand the periodic table, an international team of scientists from Russia and the U.S., including two Department of Energy national labs and two universities, has discovered the newest super-heavy element, element 117. The experiment produced six atoms of the element. Element 117 was the only missing element in row 7 of the periodic table. Physicists say the discovery of new elements expand our understanding of the universe and provide important tests of nuclear theories. Lawrence Livermore, National Lab Director George Miller, calls it a significant breakthrough for science that will provide new insight into the makeup of the universe. He calls it a testimony to the strength of science and technology at the partner institutions. Since 1940, 26 new elements beyond uranium have been added to the periodic table.
General Dynamics Information Technology, delivering the strength of technology to achieve mission success. General Dynamics IT. Visit GDIT.com to learn more.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
Job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
My name is Abe Lincoln, and I've been thinking about this cool place that you can go. It's a website that I speak of called USA.gov. It's government information online, and that's mighty fine. USA.gov. Got questions on your log cabin? Housing answers, yeah, they have them. USA.gov is your official source. Get Social Security info, whatever that is. ID theft prevention tips, because that's your biz. Even change my address, and I don't mean the Gettysburg. Find government auctions, jobs, apply for student aid. Hey, I wouldn't lie, I'm Honest Abe. It's government made easy for the people. Take it from the dude in the stovepipe hat. USA.gov is where it's at. So don't wait 67 years to check it out. And that, my fellow Americans, is what I'm talking about.
You take the family to the food court. Your wife and Pete head for tacos. You and Danny want Chinese. You look up at the menu. You look down to see what Danny wants. But you don't see Danny.
Danny!
Every parent knows that feeling. Imagine if he were actually abducted. To receive free Amber Alerts on your cell phone, go to wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
In partnership with WTOP Radio, a Bonneville station, together making a difference in Washington.
Federal News Radio in a Web 2.0 world. Find Federal News Radio on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio or join the Federal News Radio group on Facebook. Chat with our team and make connections with others in the federal arena. Email us at fnrcomment@federalnewsradio.com. Visit our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Greg Barone of Attain, and before the break, we were talking about the transition from a more traditional vendor to a consulting firm, and we started to talk about off the air a conversation that I stopped you because I wanted to have it on the radio. It's right in my wheelhouse. I'm always interested in what's in between people's ears, mm-hmm. more so than the letter of a regulation and that kind of thing.
Right.
What is the difference in the way that you personally approach your job as an executive, as the leader of a consulting company, a company that sells brain power and wisdom and experience is how I envision a consulting firm, as opposed to a traditional vendor who is selling, I use the example of 5,000 keyboards or 50 airplanes or a product, obviously services to go along with that, but the whole products and services thing compared to, I guess in a consulting firm, you're providing a service, your brain power, but at the root of it is just your knowledge. And what's the difference in the way that you lead those kinds of companies, if any?
Well, probably the simplest way to say it is the product is the people.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, you really have to take care and nurture that people. You know, so your entire HR processes are lifted up to a higher stature than they might be in a product company. And it's not to say that they're ever made de minimis in a product company.
Sure.
It's just that there is far more nurturing and development of those assets. Because mm-hmm. those assets have, unlike a product, you can land a product on a client site and that product doesn't really go anywhere.
It's, mm-hmm.
Whereas our product is constantly moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's walking. It's making choices. And so as a leadership team, we have to put an entire ecosystem around nurturing those people, cultivating loyalty, creating an environment that is conducive to them wanting to be around. We often said, even in a large organization, that there are really three scorecards. You have your employee scorecard, your client scorecard, and your financial performance scorecard.
Mm-hmm.
And you, in a services business, that employee scorecard is really important.
Mm-hmm. I imagine in a company like you are with now, it's a lot easier to it's a lot easier to quantify each individual person and their value to the organization because that, as you said, that's your product. So if someone goes away, mm-hmm. you can probably attach a certain amount of business at least up front to what you might not be able to process as well
mm-hmm.
because that person's not there. Is that a fair observation?
Well, yeah, clearly it's a matter of scale.
Mm-hmm.
But even in a larger organization, I venture to say my colleagues who are managing those larger organizations in places like SRA or CACI or, for that matter, Unisys, they put a lot of energy around managing their people.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is in a place like Attain, with only 220 people, I'm actually able to sit through the reviews of 100% of the people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to be involved in 100% of their goal setting, their training programs, et cetera. So it's much easier when you're smaller to have end-to-end line of sight.
Well, you've been doing this for a long time. How has that angle of it, the HR angle of it, changed over the years? I mean, is it dramatically different now than it was, say, 10 years ago?
I think the awareness of just how important taking care of your people, that has elevated increasingly. And you see that increasingly, even among the HR professionals, oftentimes having come from the operational elements of the business,
mm-hmm.
Because it's not just some back office position. It's inextricably integrated into the rest of how successful a business is. So,
yeah, I find the whole idea fascinating because we look at the general media and they're talking about the economy and how hard it is for some people to find jobs, and yet I've never talked to anybody in your situation who says anything except, I can't get enough good people. I can't. If there are people who will add value to my organization, I'll take them today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, I would say that a big portion of my job is constantly recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out there evaluating talent, looking for more talent, In fact, I'll use your radio show to just say that I'm available. Please call us at any time, because we want to be a talent magnet and take the best of the brightest that want to really do something insanely great.
All right. You mentioned the word scorecard, and I'm going to get away from it from an HR area, but we'll talk a little bit about scorecards and how that relates to accountability when we continue with Greg Baroni on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It is In Depth with Francis Rose. You'll hear more in a moment.
Drive your kids in the car without them wearing their seatbelts, so why would you leave them unprotected once you're gone? At Zelle Law, we help protect your assets for your heirs and provide the latest techniques designed to maximize your wealth. To learn more, call 571-203-9355 or visit us on the web at zellelaw.com. You can also join me, Wayne Zell, every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Blueprint for Wealth right here on Federal News Radio.
Less sleep, more fat. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. How much people sleep may affect how much they weigh through fat that's deep in the belly, covering vital organs. Too much visceral fat can raise the risk of diabetes, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol. At Wake Forest University, Kristen Hairston looked at data on 332 African Americans and 775 Hispanic Americans. She checked how much visceral fat they gained and how much they slept.
Participants who received 5 hours or less had an increase in visceral fat. Those who had 8 hours or less had an increase, but not as much in those with less sleep.
Possibly those who were up longer also ate more. The study in the journal Sleep was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Jane Norris.
Associate Attorney General Tom Perrelli.
The Attorney General is the lead government official on the Freedom of Information Act. He issued a directive in March of last year to increase transparency and to change the way agencies approach FOIA. And we will continue to try to encourage agencies to proactively release information and to improve their performance on the FOIA generally.
Hear the entire interview online. FederalNewsRadio.com/Federal Drive.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Greg Baroni of Attain, and we're talking before the break about scorecards and accountability, and it's kind of been a thread that's run through our conversation throughout the afternoon. I wonder if you have any thoughts about the possibility that we could at some point become scorecarded and dashboarded out, where there are so many things to comply with that some folks at the agencies are going to have trouble keeping their teams focused on whatever the actual mission of their project or their agency overall is in the first place.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think this current administration runs the danger of moving in that direction. And I think the way you avoid that comes down to two things. One, your leaders have to truly embrace and sell constantly whatever the strategic initiative is. And the second part of that equation is keep your strategic initiatives to less than a handful.
Mm-hmm.
The danger of being dashboarded, to oblivion is when you have too many of them.
Mm-hmm.
People just lose focus on that. Or that you do it once a year. It's kind of like, oh, this is the new theme of the year. Stay away from that. Pick your few, stay with them, and the leader's got to sell them constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where you'll find more success in accomplishing what the real objective is.
It does seem like the flow of dashboards has slowed a little bit over the last couple of months. There was a period when the administration first took over, and it's perfectly understandable. They're standing up what their accountability measures are. It seemed like we had different ones and different material going into them on a pretty regular basis. It appears now the focus seems to be more of what's going into those dashboards to make sure that the data is of high enough quality that when somebody punches that dashboard up, they're going to see mm-hmm. what they should be seeing, what's an accurate yes. measure of what's going on at the agency.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea of accountability and transparency is certainly desirable. I don't think anybody debates that. I guess there is some discussion about the kind of the end result. When we're more transparent, when we are more open, and when there is more citizen participation, what's really going to be that different, do you think, about the way the agencies operate? Will it affect the actual kind of day-to-day or week-to-week or month-to-month operation, or is this whole transparency thing, you think, more... I call it cosmic because it's something that you notice when you look back 5 years from now rather than 5 days from now.
Yeah, I think it'll improve. Overall, it'll improve morale. It will improve or maybe make dissipate the dark cloud of government or that seems to be over government today in terms of perception.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of like concrete value, I don't know what the return on investment really gets to. So... those would be my thoughts on.
And that's part of the problem, because when we're in the financial situation that we're in right now, it seems to me that maybe at the secretary level or the deputy level, the emphasis is going to be more on show me what I'm getting for my money.
Yeah.
And these programs are interesting now and they're very high profile now. But if 2 years from now or 4 years from now, we're in a situation where you can't really say, we've done this, we're this much more open, and this is the benefit that we've realized in raw dollars,
right,
then I wonder whether these are going to hang around or whether we're going to move on to something where we can demonstrate. I mean, cloud computing is almost a no-brainer.
Right.
You do this, and you save this much X number of dollars.
Correct.
And it strikes me that this is a whole different conversation that is really far more difficult to quantify.
And I would agree with you. And I really believe that that's one of the challenges that that the leadership team of this administration has to address.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is really going to the quantification of the ROI.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that the CIO and the CTO, both of them, have been really focused in on trying to push out the increased transparency is one of the key pillars of this administration. But again, and while there has been great progress, I just saw recently a press release on that by the CTO. And on the other hand, you'd have to ask yourself, I didn't see anything there about the ROI.
Yeah. It's just hard to get a sense of where, mm-hmm. where the money went and what you got for what you paid yeah. for. Greg Baroni is my guest, chairman and CEO of Attain on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose. We'll be back in a moment to wrap up our conversation. You're faced with challenges, securing your systems, juggling priorities. Visio can help. Visio helps reduce IT costs and risks by visually representing the health of your network in real time. Agencies are mandated to reduce their carbon footprint. Visio's Rack Server Virtualization free add-in helps monitor your IT department's energy consumption levels, meeting this mandate. Learn more and download free Visio partner products valued over $3,000 at visiofederal.com, visiofederal.com.
Save money at HalfPriceDC.com with half-price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, stores, spas, and more. This week, HalfPriceDC.com has half-price gift certificates to La Bergerie in Old Town Alexandria, providing award-winning French cuisine for over 30 years, Salon Jean and Day Spa in Cabin John, a state-of-the-art salon and spa, and Discovery Galleries in Bethesda, a premier art gallery providing custom framing solutions. See all the offers at HalfPriceDC.com.
Everyday America depends on the FAA to ensure the safe operation of the national airspace. For more than 20 years, task engineers and specialists have supported the FAA's development of a safe and secure air traffic management system. With proven expertise in NAS systems engineering, program management, and aviation operations, TASC stands ready to support the FAA's next-gen transformation. TASC continues to be a trusted advisor, partnering with the FAA today for a safer tomorrow. Visit online at TASC.com.
I'm here for the matchmaking service.
But you're a sandwich.
See? How can I fall in love when people think I'm something I'm not?
So, you're not a chicken sandwich?
No, I'm a new premium chicken tortata from Taco Bell.
Okay, tell me about the real you.
Well, I'm loaded with fire-grilled chicken and bold flavors with no boring bun to get in the way.
Huh, well, with all your delicious ingredients, I think we can find you someone who loves you for what's on the inside.
Hey, let's not forget about what's on the outside.
With no boring bun, the outside is pretty important, too.
Introducing Taco Bell's new premium chicken tortata. Marinated and fire-grilled all-white meat chicken in your choice of two bold flavors, bacon ranch or salsa roja. Think outside the bun. At participating locations for a limited time only.
Put away your late-night hunger with Taco Bell's fourth meal. All the crunchy, spicy, cheesy, and grilled tastes you crave after dark. Only at Taco Bell. Think outside the bun. Taco Bell is open till 1 a.m. or later. Hours may vary by location.
Be sure to mark April 29th on your calendar and attend the Excellence.gov Awards luncheon at the JW Marriott Hotel in Washington. These awards will recognize the game changers, those federal programs and their managers who have achieved exceptional results in managing IT in support of the government's mission and serving citizens. On April 29th, the winners will join the over 150 programs that have received the Excellence.gov Award since 2002. For more information, go to actgov.org/excellence.gov2010.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, wrapping up my conversation with Greg Barone of Attain. And innovation is something that we've heard about with the incoming, well, I keep saying incoming, I'm still in the habit, but I've been in office for over a year now. With this administration, though, the focus, you mentioned Anish Chopra and Vivek Kundra, and they've talked about innovation ad infinitum a number of times on this radio station and everywhere else that they go. But this isn't a new concept. This is something that especially private enterprise in the United States has been concerned about with the advent of countries that don't necessarily like us having access to our networks because of cyber breaches. There's a million things involved in this innovation concept that when it's talked about a lot of times sounds very amorphous, sounds very monolithic. There's only this one concept, but when you really open it up, there's a million little pieces inside of it. What do you think about what we're doing as far as innovation in an organized, deliberate way, rather than just saying, well, we should be more innovative, which is, you know, I don't know of anybody that would be opposed to that.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'd say, Francis, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, one of this nation's highest priorities has to be sustaining its competitive edge. And on the world stage, that's all about innovation. And you look at the value chain of innovation, and you got to ask yourself, what are we doing in concrete ways that will drive that? You know, we at Attain, we like to say that we're the bridge to practical innovation, but we're really just touching small dimensions of it. And yet, when you think about it, this nation and its success on the world stage has all been driven on its success on innovation. Mm-hmm. and being at the forefront of the new technologies that have driven the economy, the nation's economy in the global stage. That said, you say, well, what are we doing that's really concrete that sustains this competitive edge? And I would say, not much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an indictment on us, because you think from a policy perspective, you'd say, all right, go back to the value chain. What are we driving? What are we doing to encourage basic sciences research? What are we doing to fuel it and, mm-hmm. and its success? Whether it's in the ecosystem associated with the providers, meaning the faculty, principal investigators that do that work, or the environment, that are we doing anything there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the science and technology, getting more students and people that can do that type of research.
One of the examples that Vivek uses in his presentation a lot of times is the example of a company that takes the FAA's on-time flight information and mashes it up and has an application that people pay money for, and that company has developed it, and so they're selling their work. It's not like they're selling the government's work. But he talks about that as an example of the way that innovation and transparency and openness of data can combine to be an economic driver. Do you think the agencies are prepared overall to be that kind of a platform for private sector innovation, or are they maybe having a little bit of a challenge doing the innovation thing on their own and not ready to kind of spread their wings that widely yet?
Well, again, looking at the value chain associated with innovation, basic sciences research, the agencies, there are a number of agencies that have an enormous impact on that. NIH from a health perspective, DARPA, the National Sciences Foundation, NSF. Each of them have an enormous role to play on the basic sciences side. I think the other part of that and where Anish is going is taking basic sciences research from basic to applied sciences and then the commercialization of it. And it's also those two elements of that innovation value chain that need some fuel to continue to drive its success.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that commercialization thing. And where government plays in that, I'm not sure, other than being an incubator.
It seems like it would be a really delicate balance, but you see things like that, I guess, on a smaller scale at lower levels of government. There are state and local governments that have all kinds of economic incubators, is a good word to describe them. And I wonder how scalable some of those things can be for agencies like maybe the Small Business Administration or something like that, or, you know, the agencies that have different missions in different areas overseeing mm-hmm. projects like that. And that's why I ask. I'm just curious to know what it looks like from mm-hmm. an outsider's perspective about whether they're ready to kind of take up that role.
No, and I would say that the answer is they're not able to take that that role alone. And in fact, this is an area, frankly, that I believe a public-private partnership might fuel more commercialization success.